Redacted SCPs. In the early days of SCP, efforts were made for the documents to come off as official government papers of a secretive, bureaucratic organization that deals with anomalous phenomena. This included using quite formal language compared to most creepypasta, lots of designations and acronyms, and of course, redactions, where information was blackboxed, expunged, or otherwise removed from the document. Over the years, this type of obfuscation was used to both positive and negative effect, depending on the article, with some being lauded for appealing to one's imagination, and others being regarded as little more than a cop-out. The articles we'll be looking at today don't just contain redactions in their information, but are instead focused on them, with many of them not even containing a description of the anomaly. Let's take a look. Let's start with a classic, one that's well known due to being featured in the plot of SCP-5000, SCP-579. The containment procedures state that it's held in a compound known only to personnel directly involved with its containment, and it's encased in a cell made of an expunged material, suspended through use of electromagnets. All instruments are to be checked every half hour to ensure their continued function, and any changes are to be immediately reported to High Command. Any instrument or electronic device registering more than 0.2% from its median range of function or displaying any errors will result in automatic execution of Action 10 Israfil. Routine reports to High Command are to be made every hour, and if a report is not received within 7 minutes of its scheduled time, Action 10 Israfil A is to be executed. Absolutely no action regarding 579 other than these is to be taken. The description is, of course, expunged, but an addendum further details Action 10 Israfil A. When executed, doors, windows, and other possible exits from the compound are to be sealed until High Command issues an all-clear statement, or 7 minutes go by. If the all-clear statement isn't received, Action 10 Israfil B is to be executed, which involves the destruction of the gateway to Site 62, which is SCP-004. 004 is a barn door and a set of rusty keys, one of which causes the door to open up into an incredibly large space, which is used as Site 62 by the Foundation. The barn door must be destroyed regardless of personnel or facilities remaining within the site, and remnants of the gateway, or the gateway itself if it can't be destroyed, are to be contained in the same way as 579. High Command will then issue further instruction. In the event of a successful Israfil B, all sealed documents regarding 579 are to be released to all personnel involved with the action, which detail procedures that must be followed. Even with the successful execution of Israfil B, however, estimates place the occurrence of some other redacted event at 1 year or less. If 579 is mentioned in any capacity by any anti-Foundation or public groups, or another redacted SCP, it's recommended that Israfil A be executed as planned immediately. In the event of an unsuccessful Israfil B, no further action will be necessary, followed by more data being expunged. We are then given a 579 timeline, much of which is also expunged. 579 was discovered, though the point of origin is expunged, initial assessment is undertaken, and it's inadvertently removed from its point of origin. 5 more events are completely redacted, and then it's successfully contained and moved to Site 04. Containment fails at Site 04, however, and the site is lost. This is followed by 579 being recontained at Site 31 and Site 26, with both sites also being lost. 4 attempts are made to destroy it, but all fail, and containment fails, with 2 more events being expunged entirely. It's then recontained again, and 4 attempts are made to return it to its point of origin, all of which fail, ending up with the loss of the point of origin. Containment fails yet again. 4 more events are expunged, it's recontained, and then it undergoes some previously unobserved changes. Containment holds, but this is not determined to be because of the containment procedures. High Command issues a lockdown of the site, and an agent formulates the current containment plan, resulting in the construction of the new compound. High Command then seals all data not needed for its containment, and they consider terminating multiple agents to prevent data leakage, but it's deemed unnecessary since only 7 such agents remain. These are retained as advisors should future events concerning 579 occur. 579 is really the poster child for early SCP's usage of redactions, as you're left with very, very little to go off of, leaving much, perhaps too much, to the imagination. While there's plenty of theories and jokes about what exactly 579 is, it has become more notable due to its apparent interaction with SCP-055, the quintessential anti-meme, as whenever the two are brought together, it causes a reset of reality, seen in SCP-2998 and SCP-5000. This has led to a popular theory that 579 is the ultimate mimetic entity, to counter 055 being the ultimate anti-mimetic entity, although the article itself doesn't really indicate this in any notable way. Moving on, we have SCP-7481, or rather 7481-1, which is presented in the form of a material safety data sheet documenting an anomalous substance created and used by the Foundation for preventative applications and containment of 7481. The substance has the Safe class and is to be stored in a tightly sealed container in a cool, brightly lit, well-ventilated environment. When handling, avoid contact with skin, clothes, and eyes, and keep it away from sparks, heat, and sources of sin. Personal protective equipment when handling it includes splash goggles and nitrile gloves, with a warning not to use latex or any other materials associated with the concept of lust, as well as a standard hazardous substances lab coat. All facilities storing or utilizing it should have a holy water eye wash station, ventilation, and a safety shower. The substance is stable at room temperature, but may form explosive mixtures in high oxygen environments, and will degrade or self-replicate depending on local noospheric environment. Avoid excess heat, all forms of sin, class 4 plastics, and confined spaces when working with it, and it's incompatible with strong oxidizers, strong bases, any substance associated with purification, such as bleach or soap, any plants from the Boswellia and Camphora families, and any chemically inert metals like gold, silver, lead, and all platinum group metals. Under no circumstances is it to be brought into contact with any substance with a conceptual link to mirror polish, including all alcohol-based solvents, and it may undergo a Kierkegaard reaction with any substance containing significant amounts of sapient soul, such as maple syrup. It's listed as a controlled substance under the Vail Protocol, as a Class 12 anomalous substance, and it's cleared for use in civilian applications, both veiled and unveiled. For European regulation, it's listed as having limited evidence of a carcinogenic effect. It doesn't have any undue impact on protected sapience under the Garlic Control Act, and it does have mild amnestic effects as per the Right to Remember Act. For the US, it's classified as a hazardous air pollutant and toxic water pollutant, as well as a demonarcotic precursor, and is known to the Securities and Exchange Commission for its potential to induce various financial crimes. It has moderate aquatic ecotoxic effects and may disrupt ecosystems. It has significant noospheric effects if released, and it has minor veil-impacting effects. The associated normalcy preservation organizations are the Knights Templar Reformed, the Roman Catholic Church, and the Foundation's Tactical Theology Department. The toxicity of the substance is about 20 milligrams per gram when inhaled by an average mouse, but this number is 10 times less when inhaled by a sapient mouse, using the standard hyper-intelligent model laboratory rodent developed by Prometheus Labs. It's noted to have a strong increase in behavioral defects related to aggression in mice, alongside an incensed drive for mating, and a noted decrease in monoamorous tendencies. There's also major noatoxic effects causing disassociation between the self and objects of faith held by the subject, with it currently being confirmed for Christian, Jewish, Muslim, Buddhist, Confucian, and Hindu beliefs, along with certain types of patriotism and faith in friends and family. Faith in the stock market and cryptocurrencies are unaffected. If absorbed by the skin, it can cause irritation and permanent reddening. If ingested, it can cause severe gastrointestinal distress and a permanent loss of taste. If inhaled, it's linked to causing narcissistic behavior and may cause necrotic effects in high concentrations. Contact with the eyes may cause blindness, intense cynicism, and feelings of jealousy, while contact with the soul may cause deep-seated corruption. Chronic exposure may cause cancer, as well as reproductive and fetal effects, and an increased chance of haunting. In case of contact with skin, flush thoroughly with plenty of holy water, and remove all contaminated clothing for disposal. Get medical aid and/or priestly intervention if the skin is swollen, irritated, or reddened. If ingested, do not induce vomiting unless directed by site medical personnel, and if the person is unconscious, do not put anything into their mouth. If inhaled, provide fresh air in direct sunlight, and if not breathing, administer CPR. If the subject has difficulty breathing, administer oxygen with holy water nebulizer treatment. In case of contact with eyes, wash them out with a holy water eye station for 5 minutes, then stare directly into the sun for 5 seconds, followed by another 10-minute eye wash. If soul contact occurs, administer a Class 4 exorcism as soon as possible. Uncertified personnel should not attempt an exorcism, and the subject should be restrained. Chemical waste involving the substance must be disposed of properly, and is not to be disposed of by burning, environmental disposal, or ritual cleansing without proper training. Lastly, in case of a major spill into the environment, local social media is to be algorithmically manipulated to provide cover for a regional upswing in violence. If a city in Europe or Latin America is affected, an association football match is to be held as soon as possible. Genetically modified E. coli strain 888 shall be released in the area to decompose the substance, and a wide area purification ritual is to be held before the next full moon. All third-party proposals to ban the substance's usage in consumer products, on grounds of its status as a carcinogenic material, are to be rejected through established bureaucratic channels. Due to widespread contamination in the area in the Gulf coastal lowlands of Florida, there is a significant personnel shortage for cleansing. Safety protocols for large-scale manufacturing and transport of the substance are under revision, with Florida now being used to study the effects of long-term exposure to 7481-1. An update notes that due to changes in containment protocols for 7481, because of a K-class event, spills of 7481-1 are not to be cleaned. The description for 7481-1 is, of course, fully redacted, requiring LV3/Rapture credentials to access. So, not only do we not get to know what exactly 7481-1 is, we don't even know what 7481 is. According to the author, the substance is essentially the liquid version of sin and evil, with exposure to it leading to much larger outflows of sin and evil in various ways. The Foundation is responsible for manufacturing this substance in mass quantities, as well as making sure that it gets to as many civilians as possible, in order to counteract 7481, a massive, theological K-class event affecting the world. The Foundation has done quite a lot of strange things to keep the world safe, but manufacturing shampoo with liquid sin has got to be up there. Next, we have SCP-8798 with the Thaumiel class. The containment procedures state that the entrance to 8798 is to be guarded at all times from internal and external interlopers, with guards stationed at its rim, but not inside of it itself beyond the upper caverns. 14 staircases currently connect the upper caverns to the lower districts, and no personnel except for D-class residents are to enter the lower districts without the express permission of the administrator or one of the surviving members of the O5 Council. The only exception to this is MTF-245, That Which Descends, which is composed of 100 to 150 agents trained in espionage, political agitation, and strike-breaking tactics. As the number of eligible candidates decreases, plans for recruitment of D-class personnel to the task force are currently under review. The two current strategies proposed are an offer of a light source and widespread religious inculcation of the populace into believing that the Foundation's role is messianic in nature, with the latter being favored as more reliable. MTF-245's exact orders are not to be released to general review. For their own safety, no non-D-class personnel may leave the area around 8798 or its designated farmland, except to receive 8798-1 and deliver it onwards, and 8798-1 is to be extracted at a rate of 17,000 kilograms per quarter. Food and water is to be delivered into the lower districts by the existing winch system, contingent on delivery to the surface via that same system of 8798-1. Should the quantity of 8798-1 extracted be lower than 14,000 kilograms in any given quarter, it will not provide enough power, with this being designated as an unacceptable outcome. The following measures are to be taken until the situation is rectified. First, an armed incursion by MTF-562, That Which Remains, to force a short-term, rapid increase in production or to collect any hoarded 8798-1. Second, negotiations with D-class personnel to increase production, with a store of food and other goods that has been set aside to provide incentives for this eventuality. Third, the removal of up to 30% of the D-class population as a compliance strategy, although this is highly discouraged, as it will necessitate a significant per-person increase in production among the remaining population, and this is currently unknown to be feasible owing to the constraints of the human body. Finally, the extermination of remaining D-class personnel and the use of Foundation personnel to extract 8798-1. This is highly discouraged by the Ethics Committee, and will have to undergo review by them, the Administrator, and the surviving members of the O5 Council. This outcome is considered unlikely, however, as the present political conditions and mental deterioration of D-class personnel are not conducive to a decrease in production. Reports of 8798-1 consumption by D-class personnel remain unverified, but such a practice has been theorized as helping to maintain the current production quota. According to data gathered by MTF-245, the current status of 8798-2 outbreaks is as follows. The upper caverns are not at risk. The central warrens are at limited risk, with the population being large, but the exits are inaccessible and the air is only partially conducive to permanent habitation. The eastern warrens, known informally as the Heavenly Ladder, are at low risk, but limited habitation makes this a useful target for diverting outbreaks without a significant decrease in the rate of extraction, The Western Warrens are at high risk, with 7 outbreaks and 3 deaths reported in the last quarter. The Southern Depths, known informally by its old designation, Arrival Point, or the Old Country, have been rendered uninhabitable, but do contain several vital extraction points, with many D-class working temporary shifts here. 8798-2 has not operated in this area for several months, but dead instances have been reportedly observed by D-class. It's noted that most D-class hold a religious veneration for the Southern Depths and the 8798-2 corpses found there, with any proposals for diverting outbreaks to this region requiring to take this into account. Lastly, the Southern Warrens are at high risk, with 16 outbreaks and 20 deaths reported in the last quarter. In the event that 8798-1 does not provide enough power, the Nagasaki Protocol will come into effect. 8798 will be filled with concrete following the extraction of any non-D-class personnel, and although extraction of the D-class was proposed, it was vetoed at the insistence of the Ethics Committee. Although D-class represent 89% of the surviving human population, they are not considered eligible for reclamation due to overexposure to 8798-1. Any surviving personnel involved with 8798 will be amnesticized, and in this scenario, it is imperative that any surviving humans do not rediscover 8798-1. The description for the anomaly is, of course, expunged, although we are given a photo of a subterranean cave, with the caption stating it to be an internal portion of 8798, with an unusual presence of light. We can't really know for sure what exactly is going on here, but some parts seem clearer than others. Obviously, something very bad has occurred on this version of Earth, with 89% of the surviving humans being D-class, living underground in darkness. The Foundation rules over these people, sending them food and water in exchange for some substance that they have to deliver to provide power above ground. Guesses as to what this substance is includes some form of radioactive ore, or perhaps some type of anomalous fungi. There are also the 8798-2 outbreaks, which are most likely some form of rebellion among the D-class, since the MTF sent in to handle the outbreaks are trained in espionage and strike-breaking tactics. Clearly, there's something strange going on with 8798-1, as the document makes it quite clear in the event that they have to shut down the whole project that it's imperative that any surviving humans don't rediscover the substance. It's a short article, but manages to really tickle the imagination without even having a description. Moving on, we have SCP-5790, which is somewhat unique in having its object class, containment procedures, and description all expunged. What's left is the operational purview, with it falling under the Records and Informational Security Administration, Memetics and Infohazards Division, Department of Spectral Phenomena, Office of Applied Necromancy, and Department of Miscommunications. We're also given the information handling procedures, with information about 5790 to be purged in its entirety, no more than 7 days after creation, as per Protocol Icon. A number of purge methods have been approved, depending on the source of information. For info on the official Foundation database, it's automatically expunged by file management programs, and verified periodically by an information technology team. For official Foundation physical records, creation of new physical records is prohibited, and all known physical records have been incinerated in ritualistic ovens and pyres. For unauthorized records by Foundation personnel, the documents are to be incinerated in the same way if they're physical, or deleted without archival if digital, and the staff member in question should be amnesticized, demoted, and quarantine for a minimum of 3 months. If no anomalous activity occurs within this time, the employee may be reassigned, and if quarantine is not possible, termination is deemed a satisfactory alternative. For containment team CT-5790, there should be bi-monthly amnesticization and bi-annual rotation of personnel to prevent memory resurgence. If something expunged has already manifested, the site is to be quarantined and 2 MTFs are to be dispatched to the location. If there's a potential delayed manifestation of something, any persons with non-atheistic religious beliefs are to be terminated shortly thereafter. Any realized iconography is to be extracted from the cerebellum and incinerated. For the assigned mediums, memory may be removed following communications, depending on the methods used. If this does not occur, a week-long course of deep amnestics is to be used to prevent the possible retention of spiritually obtained information. Pre-existing literature containing information about 5790 is to be found and destroyed by an MTF, alongside relevant relics, civilian corpses, and something expunged. For this reason, all members of another MTF have been provided with portable exorcism equipment and trained in its usage. MTFs involved with the anomaly are to be administered amnestics following any related dispatch, and are to attend to no more than 2 incidents per year, with the exception of MTF Theta Zero, for whom something that's been expunged. A series of planned neurological surgeries are expected to allow Theta Zero's members to better cope with their resultant psychological disorders, and lower turnover dramatically. Lastly, for information found in something expunged, something else expunged, although it mentions widespread theistic belief systems. Protocol Matthew, which involves a long-term global theological cultural shift, has been put in place to facilitate this. Subtle short-term procedures are also planned, along with something else expunged, to increase biological similarity between cerebrospinal fluid and holy water, in order to lower the death toll. Additional methods of destroying information about 5790 may be used contextually, following approval by assigned mediums. If no persons with a spiritual connection or second sight are available, consultation with a member of Level 4 personnel with First Principles emergency response training is advised. All persons involved are expected to seek amnestic treatment and reassignment shortly thereafter. The last thing we're provided are the information retrieval procedures, which state that, thanks to a focused effort by Foundation personnel to execute Protocol ICON, information about 5790 has been purged globally from the realm of the living. In the event that knowledge of 5790 or its containment procedures is required, the following actions are to be taken. The personnel requiring the information are to submit a formal request to a senior researcher, the current Hazardous Information Containment Liaison for 5790. Requesting the information either out of personal curiosity or for low-priority matters is strictly prohibited. Contingent on said request being approved, the senior researcher is to schedule an appointment between the personnel and an assigned medium, with proxies being used if the former displays an aversion to post-mortem communications. The information is to be retrieved from the informational afterlife by the assigned medium through use of dowsing, talking boards, or other permitted forms of negligible risk necromancy. The information is to be treated as detailed under informational handling procedures. Personnel are to note that the use of occult communications for information storage does not have any bearing on 5790 or its properties, beyond eliminating the risk of something expunged and a false idol. The above sections cannot and should not be used to attempt to discern the nature of 5790. As per its official policy, the Foundation remains opposed to the use of non-human afterlives for personal or organizational gains. In the case of 5790 and its ability to realize something else expunged, however, the use of actualized occultism to release the spirits of incinerated documents poses too great a benefit to containment to be discounted. The use of Protocol Icon as standard info containment for info-hazardous objects is under consideration, pending the development of a method of expanding the scope of 5790's secondary properties. Like all of these SCPs, there isn't a whole lot to go off of here, and the mystery is meant to be part of the appeal. We really have no idea what 5790 is, as the article pretty much entirely goes over what to do with information about 5790, which is quite dangerous itself. Obviously, it has something to do with religion, with theories being that 5790 is some sort of demonic entity, or perhaps an entire religion that's been erased. Information about 5790 is somehow alive, in a sense, and has to be incinerated to completely expel it, including information found in someone's brain. The Foundation also is apparently interested in expanding the scope of 5790's secondary properties, whatever those might be, although that sounds like a risky prospect based on everything else. Lastly, let's finish with SCP-4182, which actually has an object class, containment procedures, and a description. 4182 is a phenomenon by which internal Foundation documents are periodically altered to include references to a non-existent site, Site 5. The mechanism by which this occurs has yet to be understood, and depictions of Site 5 are inconsistent, but it's typically described as a man-made island constructed to store anomalous waste. Since its discovery in 2018, 4182's rate of occurrence has been increasing exponentially. There's meant to be a photo attached here, but it just gives an invalid file error, and there's also a 404 internal server error present. Following a link to restore the file to the previous revision gives us another version of the document, from 2015. Now there is a photo present of a facility on an island, and the description states that SCP-4182 is a 16-acre artificial island located 75 kilometers south of Ippon-Sugi, Japan. Although no record of its construction exists, its configuration suggests that it was built as a waste containment facility at some point in the early 20th century. All of its structures were found to be sealed with reinforced acrylic plating, and no further attempts to remove these plates or examine the interior of 4182 structures will be made. Foundation documents will periodically identify it as a non-existent site, but the mechanism by which this occurs has yet to be understood. Since its discovery in 2014, 4182's rate of occurrence has been increasing dramatically. Another error directs us to restore the previous revision of the file, from 2002. This version has a closer image of the island, and the containment procedures mention that a 25-kilometer exclusion zone around the island has been set up, and all of the entrances and windows have been welded shut. The description is largely the same as the last, although it states that several of 4182's now sealed structures contained stairwells, plugged with concrete. Excavations of these stairwells led to the discovery of a massive subterranean complex located beneath the island, containing something redacted from the record. No further excavations are to be made. Since its discovery in 2001, 4182's rate of occurrence has been increasing significantly. Yet another iteration of the document, from 1992, states that a 50-kilometer exclusion zone is to be set up around the island, and all stairwells leading to the subcomplex are to be sealed with 2 meters of concrete composite reinforced with steel. It states that personnel affected by 4182 will descend one of several stairwells throughout the facility, proceeding into a massive subterranean complex that contains something redacted. Despite extensive seismological and radiometric surveys, the depth of this subcomplex has yet to be determined, but is in excess of several kilometers. In 1989, a medical examination of several hundred bodies recovered from 4182 was conducted. In approximately 75% of cases, the internal morphology showed minor to severe deviations from topographical norms, typically concentrated in the central nervous system. The most common cause of death was intracerebral hemorrhaging brought on by the rapid onset of liquefactive necrosis inside the brain. No further examinations are to be made. Since its discovery in 1986, 4182's rate of occurrence has been increasing. This version of the file no longer has the error related to a specific picture, and we see now that it's actually a live camera feed showing numerous decayed corpses. A notice at the bottom of the page informs us, however, that the file has received a recent revision, with it now having the Explained object class. The description states that 4182 was a phenomenon by which internal Foundation documents were periodically altered to include references to a non-existent site. Initially attributed to an anomaly, this was later determined to have occurred because of an uncaught exception in the source code, and as of 2019, this error has been patched. The last thing we're given is a message from the server's administrator with the subject line of "their line." The message has a video file and the words, "It's real. See you there." The video file shows a first-person perspective of someone walking through a dark facility while an air raid siren blares. They continue down a decrepit staircase until static sounds overwhelm the audio and the video cuts out. The last visible image is that of a pile of decayed corpses. So, we have a facility meant to store anomalous waste on an island off the coast of Japan that apparently has been covered up and rediscovered by the Foundation multiple times. The individuals that worked there died pretty horrifically, with most of them dying from their brains melting, and the anomalous waste has turned it all into one big cognitohazard. The Foundation desperately tried to cover it all up by sealing everything with concrete and welding the entrances shut, but the anomaly has been persistent, leaking into Foundation documents more and more over the years. They thought they finally squashed it by fixing their server code, but then the server administrator himself got into Site-5 and sent a video back. Now it seems to be drawing more and more people to come to the island, to bear witness to the tragedy there. The article is meant to evoke the Department of Abnormalities, a forgotten branch of the Foundation that was specifically locked away, their deeds never meant to be rediscovered. In-universe, there's often very little good reason why certain aspects of SCP documents are redacted, as one would assume that a person accessing the document needs to know some of that crucial information. Out of universe, though, good usage of redactions and expungement can heighten an article's effect, letting imagination run wild rather than outright stating something. Of course, these articles go above and beyond that, using redactions themselves to tell a story. It's not an easy trick to pull off, which is why there's very few articles where the entire description is removed, but when done right, it creates a scintillating mystery.